IsraelSin.com. I'm now working on a TV series called Betipul, in treatment, I think it's the right translation. Actually, we're starting the second session of shooting, of photographing the chapters tomorrow. So usually you won't be seeing anyone who's working tomorrow on a set, sitting here and speaking to you, but somehow we didn't calculate right the time. She's Tamar, so she managed to fit it in somehow. But we have to finish writing the text for tomorrow. It's always the most important changes, and the right text comes up the last evening, the last night, the morning. And there is a guy who's doing this, the teleprompter work. Like the actors, they rehearse on the text, but they don't know the text. The show, I'll tell you about the show, but it's meetings with a psychiatrist. It's nothing happens outside the room. It's the whole series. The last season was 50 chapters, which were inside the psychiatrist room, and it's very long scenes. It's from the beginning of a meeting. Always we have the session in the door, the way they meet for the session. There was someone who's doing a PhD work on the meetings at the door at Israeli TV series, and especially in Betipul. It's a very, maybe it's not Israeli, but it's something happens when people meet. The moment of the meeting is important. Then it's the whole session, and then they end at the door. They separate, they part, and that's the chapter. It's always one session. It's a daily show. It's 5 days a week. Every day comes a different patient. It's Sunday to Wednesday, and then on Thursday, the psychiatrist himself, he goes for his own therapy. That's 1 week. Always on Sunday comes, the same person comes every Sunday, so we get to see the development of the treatment. So it's actually, we're working on one TV series, but it's like five different series. Like, you can decide to watch only Tuesday if you're interested in a teenager problems, then you can watch only Tuesday. If you want to see the Israeli pilot, moral issues, guilt, he's on Monday. So you can watch the series just by the patients you're interested in, and you can watch the whole week, the whole series, and then you can maybe get more sense of the way the star, the psychiatrist, the star of the show, how he works, and how whatever happens to him during the week gets to be processed on Thursday. Well, he has his own private life, but he's really involved in his patient's life, and he's really active, so it's kind of it's a dynamic therapy. He's more involved, emotionally involved in his patient's life and drama, and he's involving himself. It's meetings with artists, so I thought, okay, maybe I'm an artist. So
it happens to every guest.
So maybe I'm not, no.
For sure you're an artist.
No, maybe I'm not, so I don't have to really plan what I'm going to say. I'm going to be, I don't have to make a lecture or something, I just speak, and I have no idea what I'm going to say next. Tomorrow we have the second session of photographing, and we really understand the chapters. We as writers, I'm the head writer, there are some other screenwriters and the directors. It's a whole team that works, and it's hard for us to really understand the process we're writing. So we have a psychologist who's assisting us. He's reading our ideas and he tries to help, but he's helping, but we have to invent the way the psychologist treats his patients. We have to understand, even though we didn't learn psychology or so, but found that screenwriting and psychological therapy are really alike. We found that it's dramatic. What's happening inside the therapy room is dramatic. First, we thought that it's not going to work, the show, because we thought that there's no drama, there's no conflict, because the therapist, he just wants to help. So everything is, he tries to help, so there's no conflict between the two people in the room. And there are only two people and nothing else happens. So if there's no conflict, there's no drama. But we found out quite fast that there is a lot of conflict. One of the chapters, there is a pilot who comes in and he's kind of arrogant, and he checks the psychologist, and so he tells a joke and says that in our profession, the client is always wrong. So there is really a conflict, because he has to. It's not easy for the patients to release what they feel. He really gets involved in their life. He falls in love with one of the patients, and he's really aggressive against another, and he's really caring and kind of a father to the third girl. And there's a couple who what happens in their life is really kind of parallel to what happens in his own life. So he really gets involved, then, and he really gets, sometimes he gets angry, sometimes he's really impatient, and sometimes he's jealous in his patients. And the theory of this relational therapy is that the psychologist has to show his emotions, to be involved, then the therapy works. He has to kind of walk on the edge and almost fall, almost be wrong, almost fall in love with the patient that is just fell in love with him. Because if he's cold and sits back, then nothing happens to her. It's important for her. So that's maybe the most important line of the series, is the patient comes on Sunday and she falls in love with him, and he lets himself fall in love with her, and then he's not sure if it happens because of the therapy or it just happens. People fall in love in all different places. That's kind of the question that holds the whole first season. So anyway, we shoot tomorrow, and we really understand the text. The last week we always try to really understand what we're doing, and then to rewrite it, and then the actors have to relearn it by heart, and it works until the last hours. The psychologist, he cannot really remember the text, because it's too much text. He gets a different patient every day, and it's the way it's photographed is the way it's shown. It's a chapter a day. Every chapter has one day of photographing. It's quite fast, like 30 minutes a day. And it's the whole session in one day. He cannot learn the text, and he's kind of he's a character, yeah. Asi Dayan, that you'll see. We write the text on the computer, and he reads it from the screen. And it's amazing that he, sometimes it's even as though the other actor, he disturbs him. He wants to act in front of this teleprompter. I think even though they're really mad at me, that I leave them alone, but we can go and look on the set later on, and then they're mad at me that I'm taking you to the set, because they have to make all the lighting and the dressing of the set. But somehow it's very near. We didn't really plan it, but it's really just maybe 2 minutes walking from here that we're doing the shooting. Actually, the whole process of doing this series, we have this huge building that we do the writing and the photographing and the editing. We'll be able to go there and see what's done. We really didn't know what we're doing. Now we're doing the second session of the second season, and we're starting to understand and to be more sure that we're doing something logical. But at the beginning, it was we really didn't think it's going to be work. It's going to be watchable. Two people sitting. There's no action at all. Just sit in the room and they don't move. They just speak. And there's no scenes. It's just one long, endless scene. with no jumping in time. So it's just one half an hour scene. Usually in cinema or in television, after 2 minutes, the scene is over. You write scenes and you cannot hold the scene for more than 2 minutes. And we were sure we're doing it for ourselves, just for our own interest. It's on Channel 3, which is kind of a cable. We were sure it's going to be just for really, really people who are into psychology and interested in learning or understanding. And it became successful. The Van Leer Institute in Jerusalem, there was a day with psychologists and sociologists, yes, that they were trying to understand the whole day, why was it successful? and there was really one of the major psychologists in Israel, Professor Ehrlich, and some other researchers of psychology and sociology, and they tried to, Chagai, my partner, they really tried to answer the question, why was it successful? Because it shouldn't have been. It's against every principle of television, of logic, of anything that it works. And
lucky enough, we have the English subtitles because you were presenting the series to HBO and they fell in love with it too, and they bought the rights, and now they actually finished the casting, right?
They finished the whole season. We were there just to see how it works. We didn't really help them too much because it's more or less translation of the Israeli version into English with some small adaptations. It's kind of universal, the problems, the issues, and the figures. There's one Israeli pilot who became an American pilot, and it's not really too different. They took the stories and they took the text and translated it, and we had problems with the credits because they had those American writers who took the credit on on our work. No, they gave us some kind of credit.
In very small letters?
But it's really very near to the Israeli version. It's not really based on, but it's translated and adopted a little bit. But it looks American. The American version looks American. It's bigger. And it took twice the time to shoot. It's the same. Everything happens really in the same manner, but let's see. I think it's the first time HBO is doing a daily show.
What's it called?
In Treatment. One of the main things they said in this meeting in Van Leer's Institute was that usually on television people lie. All sorts of lies. They don't really say or tell what they feel. Because when you're in an emotional situation, it's hard to say the truth. And so it comes to be that usually in TV series, people just lie or they avoid the truth. And here, people say what they feel. So you hear more of the truth of the people. And even though there's always something underneath the unconscious of those, and the real truth is underneath, but they don't lie. They try to say what they know about themselves. So that's kind of a difference between the Syrian and other regular TV shows. So the patients, they say what they feel. They try to be honest, but it's hidden inside. What they like, she tries to commit suicide, but she doesn't know, and she. It comes to her understanding only in the third chapter that what she did, this accident, was really kind of a suicide attempt. And the whole treatment changes from this point. The psychologist is kind of a detective, and he tries to detect the signs and clues and hints from what they say. And we are also, as audience, we try to understand. He's always in front of us, Reuven. He understands. Everything he understands has to be logical to us, to the audience. Then it's interesting. If it's above our head, if it's too high, too too complicated, then it's not interesting. If it's obvious, it's not interesting. So we have to find, as writers, to find the right way of his detection. To one or two episodes from the end, the secret is revealed. The audience and the patient and Reuven together understands the real inner problem of each and every one of them. And then there is this one chapter of trying to understand what to do next after you understand your problem. On Wednesday, there is the couple. And it's kind of a different treatment to deal with two people. Reuven's job is different. The patients, they fight one another, and they try to make Reuven be on their side. So it's kind of a little less psychology and a little more of sociology, kind of relations. So. Chagai is he's the producer, and he directs a lot of the chapters. I'm responsible for the script writing, and he tries to make me know, but he wants me to know, but it's my job to know, because I as head writer I have to know what's going on, and I try to explain him it doesn't work this way. We have to understand. Okay, so we write kind of what we call the Bible of the series. We write everything in advance, but nothing really happens as written in the Bible, because we really understand the patients along the way. Mm-hmm. Usually it takes maybe to chapter 6 that we don't really know what is going to be exactly. We have a clue, we have an idea, but it comes to us during the writing, and Asi Reuven, he's really angry because he wants to know everything, and I tell him we don't know, and he doesn't believe. He says we are hiding from him, and he gets to be paranoid. And so no, but it's really really impossible to know in advance. Yeah. And if we know, we usually it's the wrong stereotype. It's not really what's the true answer. The answer reveals itself, kind of. It's as if they come to life, and and we get used to understand them, and then we understand them. That's the way it works. But Chagai doesn't like it. So that's the way it worked for the first season, and then we decided to do another season, another 40 chapters, which was a decision by itself, just to want to do it all over again with different patients. And then Chagai told me, so, but this time we will know the answers in advance. And I said, but we cannot know the answers. He wants to be in control of what's going on, because he's kind of a producer and director. He wants the answers. But the script writers, they cannot produce the answers. Not in this kind of show. Now we're starting to shoot the second session of the second season, and we still have to write the last week, the last chapters in every treatment, and we're trying to solve it right now. In those days, we try to really understand what's right to do. So we'll go in and see. That's the second set. We'll see Reuven's place. It's not that you don't recognize the set from what you've seen, because it's a different set. Because the second he changes his clinic. Uh-huh. He moves to a different clinic this year. I will not tell you why, because then if you want to see the whole show, then it's important. That's everything happens here. That's the door, mm-hmm. which and that's the space, even bigger than the first set. It's his home also, so he lives here. And there is this kind of conflict between the fact that he lives here and he gets the patients in here. There is some story around the fact that it's his home, but basically it's the sofa that they sit on and his chair. There's one camera, only one, and then it takes like in the morning, only the patients they come, and we start with their side, and Reuven is not here. Usually the director sits in front of them, and they act in front of the director. And then Asi, Reuven comes, and usually they interrupt. He doesn't like to see the patient too much, so they put this monitor with the text, and he likes to act to the text. What you see there is he's acting. He's not really looking at the patients. He's looking at the text, and then in the editing we kind of put it together. In America they do it quite in similar way, but they have two cameras operating, but not two cameras, not Reuven and the patient at the same time, because the director cannot really concentrate on directing two people, and every movement, every slight movement is important. So one takes kind of a long shot of the patient and one a close-up, but it's all of one side. And then it takes 1 day for a chapter. In America they do it 2 days for a chapter. That's why Gabriel Barron is really, really gets really angry, and it's hard for him to do the job for like 100 days of photographing. It's really hard, just sitting. So everything happens in this one room, and we're not sure, like the first season, we're not sure it's going to work. For the second time, it's different patients. It's 400 shekels an hour for the last year, but this year it's 440. They were really happy, the psychologists in Israel, because it's kind of good. It's a good salary, and they were happy. That's the standard. I think the prices went a little bit up. And a lot of people wanted to come to Reuven, to Asi. They wanted to come, really. They wanted to come, that he will take, do this therapy.
And knowing how troubled
and he's really
person he is.
That's actually a compliment for all the writers.
He's a character. He's really a patient. We tried to find the cases which are kind of archetype, kind of common stories that we can like say it in few words and you understand. Love with the therapist, that's the first session, and then guilt is the second, the pilot who kills innocent people but doesn't feel anything. He kind of ignores his feelings. And the girl, the teenager, she's suicidal. So it's kind of common and dramatic cases. And jealousy between the couple, yeah. We tried to find subjects which will be appealing and interesting first for us and maybe for the audience. We had this idea that we're actually thinking of 5 feature films, and every story, every character, we could have been doing it as a feature film with scenes happening outside the clinic. And then when we had the story in mind, divided it into sections, and then that's the therapy. Even though we didn't know the answer, what's going to be at the end, we had the idea of what's the story, like the story of the Olympic hope, the gymnastic, the girl. It's an interesting dramatic story with her parents, with her coach, with her father, which is a story which could happen as a film, as a story, as a feature film. And then when we had the feeling that we have a good story, then we did this division into those sessions. If you heard of an Israeli film called Lalechet al Hamayim, Walk on Water, it was doing the opposite way. The director and the screenwriter, they heard about the therapy sessions of a guy, of a Shabak officer, and they made this out of those sessions they made the story.
I was entertaining a thought that I would like to hear what you think of. In this kind of Israeli community or in Tel Aviv, everybody, 90% or everybody on the scene are Jewish. There's no talk about God, no one is religious. There's no, you know, we are secular Israelis. I feel that therapy is in some ways playing the role of the new religion. And Asi Dayan, like there was a scene here of God in the Talmud when he says, you know, I'm bored with them, I can't stand them anymore. That's like a scene I remember written in the Talmud. So I was wondering, do you talk about thinking of, Do you think about what therapy is in the modern world and the limits of the psychiatry? As you said, the God figure is a patient himself. Like, is that at all?
I'm not sure we're really thinking of it too much, especially not talking with Asi about it, because when he hears something, the word religion, he really shivers and gets angry. But Chagai, my partner, and he was religious. He was grown up as a religious yeshiva boy, and so we thought about making one of the characters this year, but it was maybe too early for him, for Chagai.
I think the whole thing is religious. Not that someone will be religious. The setting of coming to the rabbi or coming to the authority, that in our modern world, this is the authority of, should we make an abortion or not? That's a classical religious question. Who do, doctors don't answer that. Only rabbis and priests and...
I'll tell you, in a way, we understand that the patients that come to Reuven, they cannot deal with those issues with their friends or their family. They need someone to help them. They really need an assistance. It's not kind of a fun therapy. They need someone to guide them. So in this manner, it really is kind of a rabbi that takes responsibility and is really involved in their life. It's not just telling them what to do, and he usually doesn't tell them what to do. That's an exception that he tells them do an abortion.
And that looks like manipulation.
It's kind of a manipulation, kind of. So he doesn't really tell them what to do, but he lets them speak and understand themselves, and they need someone like him.
For Chagai, I don't know, I didn't ask him, but for the Chagai I'm thinking about, he says to himself, the rabbi doesn't really work. So I'm now in Tel Aviv, and people come to the shrink. Does he help? Or he himself falls in love with it, like, yes. You know, like the limits of going anywhere beyond our...
It's really true that we need some kind of guidance. And also in this modern Tel Aviv kind of way of life, people need the guidance. It doesn't work all the time. It works some of the time for some of the patients. We really try to make it realistic. So... Reuven succeeds in maybe one out of the four. He really fails in one. And in with Yadin, with that pilot, he fails. With the girl, with the teenager girl, he succeeds. With the couple, it's a question of what is success. is helping them divorce is success, or making them stay together is success? So if you see it, you can answer it for yourself. And with the girl, with the Naama, with the girl he falls in love with and she falls for him, it's really a difficult question. And there is no answer. There's no answer, because there was a story told by Yalom, you know, this famous psychologist, American, who writes novels. And he was telling about a story about a girl falling in love with her 30 years old, older than her psychologist. And the story is that he goes with the romance, and they live together, and he quits doing this therapy thing, and they go to the Caribbean islands, and they live on an island. a friend of him, of this, comes to visit after like 3 years or so, and he sees them on the island. They have a house on the beach, quite alone, and he says that he looks really, really happy. His friend, his 60-year-old friend or so, 65, he's really, really happy. But then he looked at his wife or the girl, the patient, and she looks a little sad. So you never know what's success in this kind of story, because Reuven really, he's not sure what to do. And what's love? Our supervisor, the psychologist we work with, he says that there is no tamar, tkufat zinun. איך היית אומר דבר כזה? Like if you're a lawyer, you can have sex or romance with a patient after a year, let's say.
Oh.
You have to have some kind of a period of cooling. We say the name. Yeah. They say that for a psychologist, there is no kind of, it's for lifetime. There is no, even after 5 or 10 years. It's, but that's his own vision. Of our supervisor, other psychologists can say that it can happen after a few years or after you feel its time is right. But
I think it's very interesting that the new kind of priest for the new religion is a psychologist that will help you find your true love. And the whole thing is very wishful thinking.
And then he finds his own true love, and it's immoral, and he cannot really do it. And then it's really a moral issue that if you see the last chapter, you get the answer in chapter 50. So,
given that that it's been bought by HBO, is going to America, how much do you think of the series is distinctively Israeli, or at least the version that you wrote?
It's Israeli because the characters are Israeli. But they're really people. They have general issues that concern maybe Western culture people. They're not so Israeli.
You said before the pilot got switched to an American pilot, and to me that's completely different. Mm-hmm. Like, and there's something distinctive about an Israeli pilot.
He's a son of a Holocaust survivor, and in America he's. Blair Underwood is black, so he has his own problems. So it's really different. That's the most Israeli character, and that needed an adaptation for America. But Naama, she's becoming a doctor, a medical doctor, the 35-year-old, and an Olympic hope or a gymnastic, that's universal.
I also like the way, for example, the way that teenager talks to me and the way that she expresses herself is not like an American
no,
teenager.
No,
okay, so
I
wouldn't know how to write or how to think for an
that's why they want the credit.
But the Americans, they chose Gabriel Byrne, who has really an Irish accent. The gymnastic girl, she's Australian. The woman from the couple, she's from from South Africa. So I don't know how American it's gonna be. And maybe the only really American figure is the cowboy, the guy who comes, the husband. He's really kind of an American cast. And it's interesting for me to see how it's different, to see how different it is, and if. Yeah, and maybe for you, if the teenage girl in the American version acted by an Australian girl, if it works. I'm curious to know if it will work in America.
Yeah.
Even though they were really showing us that they're taking our stuff and doing a kind of adaptation, but they let us have the feeling that we took something from their territory. It should have been an American show, and we thought of it first, but it's American. It's That's what we got the feeling in.
That's funny. Yeah. I'm surprised that New York, like, not America, because I don't know much about America, but I know more about New York, that like that didn't, a show like this didn't develop, because everyone has their shrink on speed dial.
Yeah.
Like they walk on the street and they're like, I need another appointment.
It's, it's very American.
We are very American.
I don't know what the Japanese said about Fiddler on the Roof when it was adapted to Japanese. How could those people run such a Japanese musical? How could they know that what our life and our culture is like? So far away, never coming here, being Western.
You get all kind of strange mail offering you advice what the shrink should do, or should they take Valium? Or
Some people really send the full scripts. Yeah, people sit and write, write scripts, and I usually read them. It doesn't really work. They sometimes have nice ideas, but it's really hard to write. There is no kind of okay chapter that we can say that's okay. We can live with it, and there will be a better chapters later in the session or in this line. If it doesn't work, it's catastrophe. It's boring. You lose the retzef, home retzef. And you cannot. It doesn't work at all. So it has to be really fine writing. It takes us like 3 or 4 months to write every chapter, mm-hmm. and we do it, of course, several people, and we do a lot of draft.
It shows you're so compact. Yeah. I mean, each frame, each gesture tells you something, and you know there's a backstory. Yeah. So you can't just add.
It's not improvised.
I was writing a different series a few years ago, called Shabbatot v'Chagim. It was running also in chapter 3, it was okay. And dealing with the characters in Tel Aviv like we are, and like telling our story. And it's really, I felt writing, it was 5 years, and I felt I really know the characters very well. And so well that they write their own stories. Like mm-hmm. I just have to let them free, and they develop the stories themselves. But I didn't know anything about their past. They had only the present, and the present moved into the future every year. But I had no idea about their relations, their parents. I didn't know if they had parents or brothers or sisters or anything. They had their life in Tel Aviv with their wives and problems and work and every problem that could happen to a 30 to 40 year old person here. But I didn't know anything about their backstory. So here it works differently. We have to find the good backstory to understand it and to use it. It's like every chapter has usually as a base, it's divided to three, and the first 10 minutes or so deal with the present, what happened between the weeks, between the sessions. The second 10 minutes or so deal with the past, sometimes really going back to childhood. And the last 10 minutes, it's not straight, but the last 10 minutes deal with the relations with Reuven. They get to it, because without what's called transference, there's no therapy. It's not the information, but what you feel with it when there's a tense relation with Reuven, something happens. And then it's kind of they act out what they feel about their parents or important figures towards Reuven. That's how it works. So the chapter is divided, and it's a different kind of work on this show.